Hey y'all, hey, it is Lolita E. Walker. I am so excited to be here with you. If this is your first time, you are in for a super treat. I am a certified life leadership and executive coach. I am a TEDx and motivational speaker, author, podcaster, and yes, today is episode number 40. Yes. As you may already know, my goal was to have 100 reviews for the 40th show. We didn't quite get there. I think it was about 75 last time I looked. So guess what? If you find any value in this episode right here, I would love for you to go ahead over to Apple, or you can go to bit.ly/LOLITA REVIEWS. That is bit.ly/LolitaReviews, and it'll take you right there. Leave a powerful review because folks want to know what you're getting out of it, so they know that they should be subscribed and tuned in too. Today is an extra special episode. I am talking to a Detroit man, a family man. I am talking to Vondre Smith. You haven't heard about him? What? This is all about how to turn your perceived junk into a masterpiece. And I'm talking all aspects of the word junk into a masterpiece, your masterpiece, what support looks like and how he really literally did that.
You're not going to get to where you want to get in life until you help someone get to where they want to get in life. I sat down and I cried the entire night about not being able to get this bike. I couldn't figure out why my mom couldn't go and get this bike, because I had literally just saw my mom talk about, you know, just getting paid. And I couldn't understand why her checks went to more bills and, you know, other people have more money to play around with. That was just a little bit weird to me. I went out and I did something about it because, one, I wasn't going to see my mom struggle, and I wasn't going to sit down and just be the kid without. When you actually let someone step into their calling and do what it is that they were called to do, then you're allowing that person to expand on thoughts. You're giving this person exactly what they need so that they can help your business grow. You're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. Someone is going to think on a different scale and on a different level with you.
Ooh, I told you. It's going to be so good. Get your pen and pads ready because we're getting all into it. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Ooh, hey y'all, hey y'all. Yes, I mentioned to you all that we have Vondre Smith in the building today. Vondre is of myatmosphera.com. Not only are we talking about how his business started with turning junk into a masterpiece, but he is helping you turn your business into an ultimate masterpiece. On the front cover of his website, it says, "Let's get your audience addicted." This is the premier Google and Facebook ad agency helping emerging companies thrive online with a loud voice. He describes himself as an in-your-face marketer who gets the job done. Ooh, don't we have some synergies, y'all? Because this podcast is all about getting the job done, getting yourself to your bigger, better, bolder you. And today is no different. We kick off every episode with a powerful affirmation from Walker and Walker Enterprises. Today's affirmation is, "I am a masterpiece in the making, and I won't quit until I master all of me." If you love that powerful affirmation, go ahead and grab your 40 deck of affirmation cards at lolitawalker.com/shop. If you are new around here, welcome y'all. Go ahead and pull up a seat. And if you are coming back because you already have your comfortable seat, I just want to say, hey y'all, hey. Around here, we break things down into 3 layers. The first is all about coaching. Now, this is where I just drop a couple nuggets just to challenge your thinking a little bit. Next is all about cocktails. But as you know, it is not about what you are sipping on. There's no judgment though. It's 12 o'clock somewhere. It is about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up to this kitchen table each and every time. And then it's all about some juicy conversations. And today, again, we have Vondre Smith. So if you're ready, I absolutely am. Let's get into it. It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work. Okay. Coaching today is going to be really on four strategies that I want you to consider around the word junk. You know, we always hear somebody else's junk is somebody else's treasure. If we really think about it in terms like that, let's think about junk. And the reason why I want to give you this acronym around junk to challenge your thinking just a little bit on turning this junk into a masterpiece is because our guest today literally turned other people's junk into masterpieces that absolutely changed some folks' lives, literally, and then catapulted his business. What he does, in essence, is help people turn what they might see as junk into a masterpiece by overall marketing. But we talk about it all. We talk about family. We talk about support. But today, in this moment in time, I'd love for you to grab your CCNC journals. If you don't already have it, you can grab it for free at lolitawalker.com/podcast. Go ahead and download it. It is an amazing space for you to write all of the notes from every single podcast of Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. The J. The J about this is really about jumbling up what you think you already know. Sometimes we think we know it all. Sometimes we've been doing things and we're on autopilot, right? Does that ever happen to you? I know sometimes I'm going. And really, I talk about sitting in the power of your pause. And what does that mean? What if you decided to jumble up every single thing that you knew so that you can start from ground zero, so that you can start from a place of a reset? I'm gonna just leave that right there. Thinking out of the box, because sometimes you'll be surprised at even the creativity that comes once you decide to unlock the box that somebody else might have put you in. And quite frankly, that you might have put yourself in. I'm just saying. The U is about unconventional thinking. What if you thought out of that box? Who told you had to think out of a box? Who told you that you had to think within a box? Who told you that it wasn't a triangle or it wasn't a ziggly line? A ziggly line? A wiggly line. Who told you that there were rules to this thing that you couldn't choose to erase and create on your own? It's about unconventional thinking. It's about disrupting the status quo so that you can show up in all of your greatness. It's about looking around and saying, I see a need and I'm going to fill it this way because that is what folks are asking for. That is what I absolutely need. The N is about never giving up. How many of us have been in a situation and sometimes it's outside influences or what I love to call distractions that get in our way and have us give up too early? Come on now. We don't give up. We are allergic to average. Absolutely not. We don't give up. We find other ways to do it smarter. We ask for help. We seek those who are already doing the things that we absolutely want to do. We go and we ask questions, right? Never give up because your story is not for you. We talked about this on the podcast before. It's for somebody else. And when you choose to give up, look at what you're doing. You're saying, all right, well, I don't believe in all of you all who are listening to me or might benefit from my story. We were not put on this earth to be selfish. Nope. And that K is about knowing your story. Just talked about it, right? It's about telling your story. It's about not being stagnant in where you're standing right now. It's about shaking yourself up from the status quo of complacency of where you're standing right now. It's about leveraging resources. It's about helping other people. It's about making an impact. It's about recognizing that your junk is somebody else's treasure. It's about taking a look and reassessing what you have inside of you and realizing we need to shine up the stuff that I was calling junk because it is worth something. And this thing that is worth something is about to boom. It's about to go on extra pilot. It's about to go on extra shine because you're absolutely worth it. So as you listen in to this episode right here, I want you to challenge yourself on what you are calling junk. How are you jumbling up what you think you already know? How are you starting to think outside of the box? How are you leveraging this unconventional thinking that you have within you? How are you challenging yourself so that you are not giving up? Come on now, you're worth it. How are you knowing your story and telling it? Have you sat in the power of your pause? I have two episodes that I want to reference you back to in relation to knowing and telling your story. The first I remember on episode 10. So go back and listen to that. It was called This Is My Story. This Is My Journey. And now it's time to write yours. Absolutely. You want to think about your story. You want to think about your journey. This is a way to absolutely do that. And then head over to episode number 16, where I talk to Damon Jones. We talk about how to communicate through entanglements. And here's the thing. Sometimes our stories are so entangled. Sometimes we feel like it's just full of chaos and mess. Sometimes we feel like it's full of junk. But after you finish those two episodes, episode number 10 and episode number 16, I am telling you, you will walk and talk differently. Now, make sure you listen to this episode for perspective, but go ahead back to episode number 10 and episode number 16, because I'm telling you, it will shift you specifically when you think about your junk, like this stuff that we're owning, this stuff that we've got to let go and leave at the bus stop, this stuff that we are going to rebound with the resilience. I talked to Ingrid Clay on one of these episodes, and we were talking about stop carrying this stuff on your journey, the stuff that you don't need. But also, I want you to reassess what it is that you're calling junk in your life, because I guarantee you that there are pieces of excellence in that you want to go ahead and shine up and go ahead and push forward so that you can be bigger, bolder, and better. Because you're worth it. I know I am. So I absolutely know if you're listening to this podcast episode, then you are too. It's time for some cocktails. What are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating today? Well, I'm celebrating new 5-star reviews, and I want to take an opportunity to give a super shout out to 2 new reviews that came in. So many others came in, and I am going to just pause for the cause and make sure I have some for next week, because I know that each of you are absolutely going to leave a 5-star review because you're grabbing so much value. How do I know? Because you send me notes and emails, but I want you to go ahead and put it on Apple. This review says, taking a moment. And it's from Kel Marie P. Thank you so much. It says, Lolita has truly helped me through a difficult time, remembering that there is magic in taking a moment to reflect and reassess my life. Her voice is hypnotic and soothing. Her wisdom, sage, and grounding. I could listen to her all day. Much love, and I can't wait to hear more. Oh my goodness, it just gives me juicy nuggets of chills. The next one, thank you so much. It's me, JYB. It says, I'm hooked. My sister recommended this podcast to me, and wow, oh wow. Started on episode 1, and you would think that it's a Netflix series because I only stop for the bathroom and food. I love it because each time I feel like I am at the kitchen table grabbing all of the tea and being coached at the same time. You don't even need a cocktail to enjoy all of the conversation. Thanks so much. Let me get back to the episodes. I love it. And let me just shout out one more because I think these are so good. I love reading these, you all. It says, my new fave from B. Chanel. Where have I been? This podcast is amazing. I laughed, almost cried, and felt myself immersed into the coaching, the cocktails, and the conversations. I binged 3 episodes at once and can't wait to hear the rest. Keep on bringing the fire, and I'll have my comfortable seat already pulled up, as you always say. Good stuff. If you are looking for a podcast that coaches while you have a bit of fun, look no further. You've made it to the right place. And I cannot wait to read the other ones in a future episode. Yes, that is a super cheers. I am so excited. I love reading every single review that comes in. I appreciate it and do not take it for granted that you're not only listening, and we're in so many countries around the world, but you're also forwarding and you're also taking the time to write it and to express to other folks the power that is in this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here is a cheers to you. I also want to give a cheers to each and every one of you all, because you are really reassessing what you're calling junk. You are ready to look inside and reflect on where it is that you are. You're ready to shine up a couple of things. And guess what? You're ready to leave some stuff at the bus stop. And I'm always in celebration of exactly that. I want to give a super shout out to my son, Walker. My son is amazing. Sometimes he gets on my absolute last nerve. So all the mamas out there, I know you can absolutely feel what I am saying. But I am so super proud of him. He's 9 years old and he's just processing a lot. I tell you, these 9-year-olds out here, the stuff they keep in their heads. And I'm just so excited for him. So as he listens back to this, Walker, I'm so proud of you for really just leveraging the power of your words. I talk about it all the time. time. And when we can make ourselves vulnerable and really talk about what's going on, whether there's tears or whether there's smiles, there's always the release of what's inside, because it doesn't deserve to penetrate your body. But then it's also the trust that you have in me as your mother. And I just want to say, I love you and thank you. So here is a super cheers with your mocktail, sir. Yes, to you, because I absolutely love and adore you. I'm so super proud of you. This is a cheers to everybody. All right, let's get into these juicy conversations with Vondre Smith. Y'all ready? Let's do it. It's time for some good old-fashioned conversations. Hey, Vondre, and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. I am so excited to have you today. How are you?
Ms. Walker, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing so amazing. Listen, I was telling the folks around the kitchen table before you got here how awesome you are. And when I heard your story about how you turn this junk, right, into a masterpiece, yeah, I instantly was in your DM and was like, hey, we've got to make this thing happen. And you came through. And
it was definitely a quick connection. I love that.
Yes. So today I would love to have you introduce yourself, but we do a little something different around here. I want you to introduce yourself by way of a strength.
Okay. I like that. And I'm going to say, my name is Vondre Smith. One of my strengths is actually listening. I'm a very good listener. I really like to get down to the nit and grit of what an actual issue is so that I can make sure that that solution really comes out that can actually help the person. That can be down to, you know, life skills all the way down to, you know, business.
Okay. I like it. So tell me a little bit more. I know you are a Detroit man. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your story, because I really want to help shape and come to life this story about how you literally took junk and made it into a masterpiece.
Yeah, I grew up in Detroit. I was raised by women. I was raised by my mom, my grandma, and also my aunt. We lived on the same street. My aunt stayed across the street. Me and my mom stayed across the street with my grandmother. You know, I grew up with my cousins, basically as my brothers. So I really just grew up around a lot of family and just really had to learn how to be independent at a very young age. We all know the story. You know, Detroit hasn't been, you know, really that booming city. So you really have to find your way in a city like that. You have to make sure that you don't go the wrong route. And not going the wrong route is so hard when it comes to, you know, being in a city like that when there's so much of it around you.
Yes. Let's shape this. So you lived in Detroit. You were raised by women. I loved it. You lived across the street, which is this amazing dynamic, which I can just imagine that you just got in trouble by everybody.
The entire street knew my grandmother, because my grandmother was a nurse at one of the local hospitals. And she pretty much was the lady on the street that would make cookies for everybody. You know, everyone would be at her house. We called it the Kool-Aid house when I was younger, basically. So that would be the house that every kid's at. Every bike is outside of her house. So she was just that lady that everyone knew. So yeah, definitely when we got in trouble in school, the entire block knew.
Absolutely. Tell me about the day that you realized, I'm going to grab junk. Where did you grab it from? How did you have that foresight? And then what did you make the junk into, literally?
So it literally came down to 1 year I asked my mom for a bicycle. Her and my dad, they really couldn't afford to purchase me a bicycle at the time. My cousin came home with a bike when I was younger. He got it for his birthday, and I thought it was really, really nice. So I asked my mom for a bike on my birthday, but she wasn't able to afford it. That's when I knew there are certain tiers in life, and I learned that at a very young age. That made me say, okay, am I just going to sit here and just accept that we don't have, or am I going to go out and actually make it my own? I started looking around the block. You know, I had kids that had old bicycles that they were just giving away. I would just take little parts from their bikes or whatever. We would trade Pokemon cards for bike parts. That would give me pieces that I needed to start making bicycles. I created my first bike. It was my own. I loved it. I had the little car on the side of it to make it sound like a motorcycle when you're going down the street. And a lot of kids really liked it. Everyone wanted to know, where did I get my bike? I spray painted it and everything my own color. I told everyone that I made this bicycle myself, and that made a lot of people on the street actually want me to customize their bikes. That actually led to me making full bicycles for everyone that was on the street.
Oh my gosh, little entrepreneur in you. Yeah. Let me pause, because there was so much inside of that story. I love it. I love the first mentality. Let's start with that. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have one sister and also have two brothers.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So there's four of you all.
Yeah.
I love it. What I heard you say was, listen, we didn't have a lot and you wanted a bike.
They couldn't afford to give it to you. So you really had to think out of the box about how you were going to get a bike.
Exactly.
You probably knew, actually, you couldn't do anything that was illegal because everybody on the block absolutely knew you.
Yeah, that was of course.
And you would get spankings going up and down that block if they were anything like my family there.
Oh, yeah. The dope dealers were scared of my grandmother. Like, it wasn't even happening.
That's what I'm talking about, Grandma, that power right there. So tell me about just the innovation of it all. Where did you really learn to think outside of the box? Do you remember?
I started thinking of that when I sat down and I cried the entire night about not being able to get this bike. I couldn't figure out why my mom couldn't go and get this bike because I had literally just saw my mom talk about, you know, just getting paid. And I couldn't understand why her checks went to more bills and, you know, other people have more money to play around with. That was just a little bit weird to me. I went out and I did something about it because one, I wasn't going to see my mom struggle and I wasn't going to sit down and just be the kid without.
And so you started going to the junkyard?
Actually, I started going to abandoned houses at first. It was a lot of abandoned houses in my area. I started looking at those, started getting a little bit of, you know, pieces from those different houses. And then there was a junk guy that actually used to go around and he always used to tell me, you know, hey, you should come up to this spot here because it's a lot of parts that people just literally give away. That led to me going to the junkyard and actually creating a relationship with those guys.
Oh, I love that because part of what we talked about before you were going here is know your story and then tell it. That sounds like people knew around the neighborhood what you were doing when you were building your bike, huh?
It's something about when people know that you're trying to do something positive that everyone wants to pour in. And I've learned that I do it myself. Like, you know, when you're trying to do something positive, people want to pour into that situation because that's going to, one, that's going to help them out with a blessing. And then that's also them blessing you to do better in life. You're not going to get to where you want to get in life until you help someone get to where they want to get in life.
Oh, I love that. That is so juicy. And the thing is that I absolutely believe it and have seen it. I love that you did this. So now let's progress into your story because you said now everybody saw how cool your bike was. And that car trick, I have a 9-year-old son and my cousin put that on the back spokes of his wheel. And let me tell you, it's the loudest and best thing that could have ever happened to him.
I know he loves it. He loves it. He's never going to take it out either.
It's so loud, but he absolutely loves it. I'm telling you, you can hear him all the way down the street. So I'll talk to him about spray painting because he just probably thinks I'd be like, have you lost your Everlast in my?
Hey, I'm telling you, he'll definitely love it. He'll definitely love it.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So let's get back to it. So now you have spray painted your bike. It's the best thing happening. Yeah. What were your brothers and sisters thinking?
Well, my oldest brother, he was always kind of like, you know, the big brother, man, you shouldn't do that. The big protector, like, man, I don't want you out there like that. You don't know half of these people or whatever. So he was just a really, really big protector. But once he actually saw that, it turned into a passion for me. It wasn't even just that I was making bikes. It was just the fact that I was making people happy with something that was just very simple. It was the passion for me that started to make my family support me a little bit more. You know, my brother bought me my first toolbox and that led to me doing a lot more jobs that led to me, you know, being a lot more efficient. Once they actually saw the passion and the work that was coming from it, then it actually started to turn to fruit for a lot of them.
Oh, wow. To have a supportive family is so big. And when I hear so many people talking about how their family isn't supportive, I really give gratitude for how I was raised too. And although I have one brother, we were so close as a family, my entire family. So to hear that you lived across the street and there was just this love and then everybody in a neighborhood, it just feels so good because what I see now in society is not the same.
Yeah, it's really not. Back then in neighborhoods, it wasn't. Now it's weird to say hello to your neighbor. Like now it's just like, you know, why are you talking to me? But back then it was, why isn't my neighbor talking to me? Why aren't me and my neighbor close? Even where I live now, that's something that I like to keep alive. Like everyone where I stay, I make sure that they know who I am, not just for business, but I just want you guys to know who I am. I feel sorry when somebody doesn't know who I am.
I am that person too. I know all my neighbors. And it's so important to me. I totally agree. All right. So let's get back. So now you've built this bike. Everybody in the neighborhood wants it. Do you start charging?
Oh, yeah. I started charging $25 per bike. So it would take me maybe like, you know, 2 days to start putting together bikes. I got really good at it. It will only take me about 2 days to actually like, you know, start putting together a bike. And I actually hired an employee while I was actually putting together the bikes. I hired one of my cousins. So we were just inside of the garage all night, just cranking out bikes pretty much for everyone inside of the neighborhood. That's when I found out how to start a business. I created a logo and everything.
Nice. Oh my goodness. This is so exciting to me. About how old were you?
I was only 5 years old when I actually started building bikes, but it led all the way until I was like 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
5 years old, you were building bikes. That is so inspiring. I absolutely love it. How did you know what tools to use? Did you add resources along the way? Were you asking questions? I think this is so juicy because not only are there parents with children who are trying to find that passion of where their children have this passion point, but there's also folks that want to start a business and just don't know where to start. So this is really good.
I definitely say start. I learned a lot of things at a very young age. And the way that I learned how to put together bikes was literally watching my grandfather put together his bike. He was a triathlon bike rider. So he would always have the bike with the skinny tires, the racing bikes. And I would always see him inside of the garage, you know, taking his tire off, putting his tire on. I just literally sat there and watched the guy the entire time, like trying to change his brake. That led to me knowing how to put parts together. Of course, I put together bikes on backwards before, but it basically taught me what I needed to know to continue on going, putting them together.
Oh, I love that. I want to share with you the acronym that I left folks with when we think about how your junk can become your masterpiece. And then I want to talk about the business that you have now, what you're doing, and how the lessons that you've learned have actually been so important to you as you have your own business now. Okay?
Of course. Of course.
Cool. The J, it's in the acronym of JUNK, J-U-N-K. I'm always trying to leave some type of acronym to leave folks with additional thinking, just to challenge them just a little bit to think differently. So the J was about jumbling up what you think you know. Shake it all up in your head, because reality is there's something bigger, better, and bolder out there when you decide to think out of the box.
It really is, because when you jumble it up inside of your head, you're thinking at it from so many different angles. I think of things as far as shapes. So like, you know, I think of things that's like, you know, three-dimensional, four-dimensional, and it helps me break it down through math equations. That is just something that I've been able to do for my entire life. And it just helps me jumble things up a lot easier. When you just put everything inside of your head down on the sheet, or when you just think at it as a whole, you are able to attack it a lot differently.
Yes. And then that goes into the U, which I have as unconventional thinking. Now that it's all jumbled up and you're trying to shake even the generational stigmas, even what folks are telling you you can't do, when you jumble all of that up and then now it's coming to a little teeny bit of clarity, at least you see the puzzle pieces, right? Now it's to think unconventionally.
I love that. I love that. I always say transform the way that you think. The Bible says, you know, be ye not transformed by this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So renew your mind each and every day is something that I'm definitely big on. Be okay with being uncomfortable. It's something that a lot of people should definitely get used to.
Mm-hmm. Get uncomfortable so that you can become comfortable. Come on now. I like that a lot.
Talk.
I like it. I like it. The N that I shared with them was never give up.
Ooh, I like it. I look at people that give up, like, why? One thing that I just truly can't understand, and is one thing that I will probably never try to understand, because if you're giving up, you're not giving it your all, and you're not giving your family all that they actually can get. You're not doing it for you. You're always doing it for the people that you're around and the people that you love.
Yes. That never give up was because when you give up, also, you are not allowing somebody else's blessings to come. Why be selfish? Don't give up. There's somebody out there that needs you.
That is so true. Your children, parents, they're supposed to leave their children, you know, inheritance. Definitely set yourself up so that the generation behind you is able to take on what you weren't able to actually do. You're not going to die until you fulfilled your full blessing.
Oh, absolutely. This is so good. And then that K, we already talked about what it was about, knowing your story and then telling it. And I believe firmly that if you don't share your story, then other people, one, are stagnant. Two, you can't sometimes get the resources that you need if you don't already share it. And then someone else doesn't know how you might be able to help them on their journey.
That is so true, because your testimony is going to be a blessing to someone else. What you went through, your story, that's going to be able to help someone guide inside of their life. You know, they may not be going through the same situation, but they can vicariously live through you and be able to guide what they need to do.
I love it. This is so good. And I think it's challenged some folks. So now that we talked about the acronym, we talked about jumbling what's already in your head, unconventional thinking to think out of the box, never giving up, and knowing your story and tell it. When you think about all of these things together, tell me now about what you're doing and then how this lesson from this whole bike experience has translated into that.
Well, I look at it this way. If you're a boss, you're able to speak to a lot of things naturally. So it's not going to come by a script. It's not going to come by, you know, you coming up with some meticulous words. Me living that type of life pushed me to go into different barriers. At a very young age, I learned that I was very good with my hands. But as I got older, I'm like, okay, I actually have a mindset that is with business. I have a mindset that actually is about growth. So that pushed me to learning about marketing. And when my grandparents started a restaurant, I took over their marketing and I was actually able to help them get customers. So I actually took over their marketing when they started a restaurant. I was the person that was, you know, helping them like come up with what they need to do as far as specials, how much percentage they need to take off, what they actually need to sell, different things like that. That pushed me to start learning a little bit more about business. My family started to do a little bit better as we all started to visually grow. I started to, you know, learn a little bit more about business with my bikes while my parents were going to school and learning about business and what they needed to do. It was all a renaissance era for each and every one of us because each and every one of us was all on the come up.
Oh, I love it. So what are three strategies you could share with the folks today about marketing? If they have their company, they're ready to level up their marketing. What are three things that they can do today?
One thing that they can definitely do today is I call it an analysis of your online system. So look at what your competitors are doing. Look at what is trending inside of your industry. Make sure that your marketing is timeless because when you go towards trends, that's going to wither away. That's going to go away in 6 months, 3 months, you know, 12 months down the line. But when you actually create things that are actually timeless in marketing, when you go with a Ralph Lauren strategy, you're actually going to be able to be more sufficient with actually getting your customers. And the most expensive customers are going to be new customers. Make sure that you have enough systems out there to make sure that you have repeatable business coming to you.
Mm-hmm. So you introduced this Ralph Lauren concept. So tell us what that is.
So the Ralph Lauren concept, I call it the timeless concept. When you look at Ralph Lauren marketing, you don't see a lot of trends. You see a lot of timeless marketing. They're talking to the same guy, but they're talking to the same guy on his level. For your marketing to work, you don't want to talk over your customer. The worst thing that you want to do is I call marketing like a date. When you're on a date with a young lady, you don't want to talk too much because she's going to be turned off. She's not going to want to talk to you anymore. The worst thing that you can do when you're trying to propose to someone is talk a little bit too much and just kill the deal. Give enough information so that someone can learn about your product, but you can talk to them on their specific level. Just like church, when you go to church and you're listening to the pastor and you don't know what certain things mean, that pastor's talking over you. It's not until you go to another church where they're actually speaking on your level where you're actually able to connect.
Oh, very nice. I love that there. Okay. So that was the first strategy, which is to do an analysis of your business.
Right? Yeah. Know exactly who you actually need to speak to and make sure that you're speaking to them on their level. Another marketing strategy is going to be run ads. Like, you know, I'm definitely a big ads guy and I'm going to tell everyone, like, you know, you definitely need to get some ads out there about your company, but make sure that your business is set up to actually run ads because you're going to need things on the back end to make sure that the ads that you're running are going to be sufficient. Do you have a line of email set up because your customer is not going to convert on the first turnaround? They're going to have to see you guys over and over and over again about 7 times so that they can make a decision on if they're actually going to work with you. So make sure that you have things set up inside of the back end before you start turning on ads. Because if you turn on ads and then figure out that you need all of that stuff inside of the back end, your ads are not going to work. And then you're going to be super unhappy because you're out of a lot of money and none of that stuff actually worked because it wasn't set up in the back previously. So make sure that you guys are setting up your systems in the back end, email campaigns, text campaigns, knowing what you're going to say to your customer when you actually get them on the phone. Make sure that you have a lot of that stuff down so that when you actually do start turning on ads, that is actually adding fuel to the fire and you're not just trying to start a fire with ads.
Very nice. I love that. And those are things that people can begin to do today because, you know, there's a lot of folks that say they run ads and clearly they need to come to you. What would someone ask a potential marketer to just make sure that they are on par with everything?
To make sure that you have a marketer that is on par with you, don't go with the marketer that's just on the phone like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's cool. You're like, yeah, oh my God. Yeah, I've never thought you should go ahead and do that. Make sure that that marketer actually has a mindset for themselves because you're not coming to them just so that they can take your product and just continue on doing what you're doing. You're going to that person so that they can grow what it is that you were doing in a different way that you actually didn't see. When you actually let someone step into their calling and do what it is that they were called to do, then you're allowing that person to expand on thoughts. You're giving this person exactly what they need so that they can help your business grow. You're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. Someone is going to think on a different scale and on a different level with you. It's not a bad thing. It's just that that person thinks on a different level and a different scale, and you're thinking on something totally different that that person wouldn't think about. So you guys need to come together, touch and agree, and make sure that that business is going to be able to succeed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I absolutely love it. That is perfect. It's a perfect segue for me to ask you, how can people get in touch with you?
You can go to my website, getmybusinessoutofthe90s.com. It's a funny website that I'm definitely big on, you know, like in your face marketing. That's what I call what I do, in your face marketing, because I'm very dominant in the way that I talk. You probably can hear that off of the podcast. We run ads for our different companies. I don't want to pitch or anything like that, but you know, just go to getmybusinessoutofthe90s.com. That's how you can connect with me.
Now, we always do a come as you are round around here. So ooh, this is where I'm just going to throw a couple questions right at you. And I just want
throw
you
them
to
at
tell
me.
Tell me what you think. I love it. The first is, what is one strength that you have that you didn't always recognize that you had?
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Confidence. I grew up as a chubby kid getting bullied or whatever. So it was something that I didn't know. I had a lot of confidence because I didn't care. I kept on going. Confidence is definitely one thing that I didn't know that I had, but I grew to know that I actually had that strength.
I love it. What is one barrier that you think still stands in the way today?
Oh, I break barriers. No barriers. Oh, we break all generational. We ain't got no barriers.
I love it. I love it. That is your answer and you are sticking to it. And then the last one is, why is the work that you do so important?
The work that I do is so important because it's not just marketing, it's connecting. It's actually connecting on a personal level. It's actually connecting on a relationship level with your customers, connecting with the relationship level on with the people that you're trying to connect with. For you to truly grow your business, it's not just about having customers. It's about actually creating a community. It's about creating an actual audience of people that are truly going to love you. That's what's super important about what it is that I do, because what I do is going to be around long after I'm gone.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming in. I think you did an amazing job at talking about how junk literally can become your masterpiece and how you're leveraging those learnings to really almost dominate the market right now, which is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love it. This was awesome.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers.